I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And today I'm very, very pleased that at long last we have been able to invite our neighbors to come and join us in the worship service. We are so happy to have you here today. Yes, may you continue to come back and worship with us here in this church. And when we first started this church, really, there was no intention at all to make this an Asian church, absolutely none. But in the course of time, it's just that there are so many Asians flocked to this church. But really, this church is meant for everyone. Yes, for everyone, for everyone from any race. Most all of you are very, very welcome to this church. So we are very happy to have you. And in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the session of this church, I would like to greet every one of you a very happy Lunar New Year. And as we know, this is the year of the rooster. So I will speak this morning the message from the birds. Yes, as you know, the rooster belongs to the bird family, so I speak this message this morning, message from the birds. You know, lots of people in the world are very superstitious. Many don't like to walk under a ladder, isn't that true? And many do not like to have a black cat crossing their path. And then there are those who believe that their destiny is determined by the stars that they were born under. In fact, some would daily consult their stars to try to read their fortune for the day. And if the star tells them that it's bad luck for the day, then they will go through the day with lots of fears and lots of worries. And some of them might not even want to fly on the day when the day spells bad luck for them, for fear that the plane that they're traveling in might crash. Now, what about the Chinese? The Chinese generally are a very superstitious people. You might not realize that, but that's true. And Chinese love to gamble. And as they say, you put two Chinese together, the thing that they will start doing is to gamble. And so good luck means a lot to the Chinese. They believe, and then they also believe that luck has a lot to do with numbers. So the number 4, for example, spells bad luck. Because in the Chinese language, particularly with reference to those who speak Cantonese, the word 4, the number 4, is representative of bad luck. Because 4, it is pronounced this way, all right? It's a little subtle. You have to listen carefully if you don't understand Cantonese. It is yap yi sam say, say, all right? And then the word death is say, so it's say, say. Say is 4, say is death. So nobody wants to have death representing their house number. So nobody wants to have house 47, for example. 4-7 means no good. 7 people in the home might experience tragedy. So nobody wants to have the number 4 in front. They don't want to live in a house with a number 4. And I'm told that in Hong Kong, some buildings don't have level 4. It's 1, 2, 3, 5, no 4. And then I understand also that the Chinese love the letter 8. Now the letter 8 in Cantonese is pronounced as pad, pad. And it sounds like fat. And fat means prosperity, right? Fat and fat. Fat is prosperity, fat is number 8. So Chinese love in houses that have got this number 8. So 8 something is very good. Now on the road, if you ever see a car with these numbers, 8888, guess the race of the nationality of the driver of the car. Chinese, and more exclusively, a Cantonese-speaking Chinese. All right, and that's true. Now then, of importance to superstitious Chinese is the year in which they were born. Now, according to the Chinese almanac, yeah, the year in which a person is born determines his destiny. So each year of the 12 years of the cycle of the lunar year is represented by an animal. Each of the 12 years is represented by an animal. Year 1 would be represented by the rat. Year 2, by the ox. Year 3, by the tiger. Last year was the year of the monkey. And this year is the year of the rooster. Now, then according to the Chinese almanac, I got this from the net, by the way. I'm not an expert in Chinese almanac, but I got this from the net. It says, people born in the year of the rooster have many excellent qualities, excellent characteristics, such as being honest, bright, communicative, and ambitious. Most of them are born pretty or handsome and prefer to dress up. In daily life, they seldom rely on others. Now, if I were born in the year of the rooster, I would say, ah, oh, that sounds like me. However, they might be enthusiastic about something quickly, but soon be impassive. Thus, they need to have enough faith and patience to insist on one thing. So what are the strengths of people who were born in the year of the rooster? Independent, the strength. Independent, capable, warm-hearted, they have self-respect, they are quick-minded. Weaknesses, impatient, critical, eccentric, narrow-minded, and selfish. The truth is, as there are roosters with that kind of characteristics, there are roosters with exactly the opposite characteristics. Then we also find non-roosters, people born in the year of under other kinds of animals, also have the same kind of characteristics. So the question is, where is the validity that only roosters have these characteristics? No validity at all. Yes. And then roosters might also be very, very curious to find out what celebrities were born in the year of the rooster. Yes. Aren't you interested? If you were born in the year of the rooster, let me see who were born in the year of the rooster. If I were born in the year of the monkey, who were born in the year of the monkey? Now, then of course they are thrilled to look at the list of the who's and who's in the year of the rooster, of people born in the year of the rooster. Now, let me read you some names. And again, I got this from the net. I do not know some of these names or many of these names. Britney Spears, you know her? Maybe a singer, right? Am I right? Justin Timberlake, a singer, I think. Elton John, I know, he's a singer. Jennifer Aniston, an actress. I know this one. Anna Kournikova, she's a tennis player, I know. Then Alexis Bledel, I do not know who he or she is. Betty Midler, I don't know. Kate Blanchett, I know. All right, she's an Aussie actress. She has won some Oscars before. Diane Sawyer, Elijah Wood, James Marsden, and so forth. Matthew McConaughey, I think I know him, he's an actor. And then Matt Damon, I think you know, actor. All right. Catherine the Great, a famous character in history. Rudyard Kipling, of course I know who he is. He was a poet and a composer, a writer. Then Tagore, a philosopher and a poet. Now I know these two names, I'm sure you know these two names, famous people. Roger Federer and Serena Williams. Yes, you know them, born in the year of the rooster. So then when they look at Roger Federer and Serena Williams, they might say, ah, I'm in very good company. Why not? Like them, I can be famous and I can be wealthy. True? Now friends, really you are not in good company, even if you are like them. And even if these sporting greats are showing forth the best characteristics of the rooster, the positive characteristics of the rooster, such as being honest, warm-hearted, and having a great deal of self-respect, you see, they might have these positive characteristics, or even more, in the eyes of men. Now, true, these characteristics are all seen as good human goodness, seen as righteousness in man, perhaps. But you know what God's word has to say about the goodness of man and the righteousness of man? All right, let me read this to you. Now, these are not my words. These are words out from Holy Scripture, the Word of God. The Word of God in the book of Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God says that. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. So you see, my dear friends, the truth is, no matter how good we are, we can be the best person on planet Earth. No matter how good we are, the truth is, we have broken all of God's laws. Everyone, God has given us His Ten Commandments, and we have broken His laws. We have lied, haven't we? Nobody can say that he has never lied. We have cheated, haven't we? Yes, we have cheated. Maybe we cheat. We stole our employees' time. Our employer's time. We are supposed to work 8 hours per day, but we work 6 hours, and the rest of the 2 hours we do our own thing. My dear friends, that's theft. That's cheating. And then we might cheat on income tax also. And then we might have taken the Lord's name in vain. We use the name of Jesus to swear. Yes, we use it as a curse word. And then we might have committed adultery. We say, oh, committed adultery. No, I've never committed adultery. But you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said to those Jews in those days? They thought that they were very, very straight and very righteous. But the Lord said, you have committed adultery. And the Lord said this to them, that if you have so much look at somebody who is not your wife, somebody outside of your marriage relationship, and you have desire for her, you have already committed adultery. That's what the Lord said. And then the Lord also said this, the Word of God also says this to us, we have committed murder. He said, how? I've never taken a gun or to shoot at anybody. I've never taken a knife to plunge it into somebody's back. I've never done that. But the Lord says, so much as we have entertained hatred in our heart for anyone, we would have committed murder. That's what the Lord says. Now, it is these unrighteousnesses that we have in us that separate us from the one true living God. Yes, spiritually we are separated from Him. Of course, physically we are alive. Today you can hear what I'm talking about. You are seated there, I'm alive, you are alive. All of us physically are alive. But my friends, if, my dear friends, we have this unrighteousness in us, and this unrighteousness is not taken away, we are separated from the one true living God. Spiritually, we are as good as dead. In fact, dead, separated from the one true living God. As it were, we are separated from the main stem, from the main branch. It's like a green leaf that falls to the ground. It is still green in color, it appears to be alive, but actually it is dead because it is separated from the main stem. Likewise, my dear friends, if we have this unrighteousness in us that has not been removed, not cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are dead, separated from the one true living God. So, even if we were in the company of Roger Federer and Serena Williams by birth, we are not in good company. We are in good company only, now listen carefully, only if they are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are also true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can say that we are in good company with Roger Federer and Serena Williams. And then, who is a true believer? Who is a true believer? A true believer is one who has trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior. He is one who is willing to admit that he is a sinner, wretched sinner, separated from the one true living God, heading for eternal hell, for eternal punishment, and for eternal punishment. And he's one who truly has repented from his sins. He has come before the Lord and admitted that he has sinned against the one true living God, and has asked the Lord to cleanse his sins away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, people are superstitious because they do not know this one true living God in a personal way. You must know Him in a personal way, but people are superstitious because they do not know Him in a personal way. They know Him in the mind, yes, but they do not know Him in the heart. They know Him intellectually. Maybe they read about this God, they read the Bible, they read about this God, but they do not know Him in a personal way. But if they do know Him in a personal way, they believe Him in the heart, know Him in the heart, they will understand this truth, that this God of ours, the one true living God, is the sovereign God. He is absolutely in control. He is absolutely in charge of the whole wide universe. And nothing can happen without His permission. Nothing happens by accident. And he says this about himself. God says this about himself in Isaiah 46. If you look at the program sheet, Isaiah 46 on the last page, yes, you will look at, you will see these two verses. I read for you Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Page 4, Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Okay, let me read this for you. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now what it means is this, God knows everything from the beginning to the end and from the end to the beginning. Yes, and he knows everything. And he says, my counsel shall stand. In other words, my purpose shall stand. Nothing and nothing can change my purpose. My purpose. My purpose shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure. I do everything that pleases me. That is what this one true living God is. He is sovereign. Now, if we understand this truth, that this God of ours is sovereign, totally in charge, perfectly in control, then we will not be superstitious, because we know that our lives are in his hands. Yes, and we know that our life is not controlled by, or not determined by the stars, not determined by our destiny, it's not determined by the year in which we were born. And the only way for us to know this God personally, I say it again, for us to know him personally is to know this God through Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, I and my Father are one. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So if we know Jesus, we'll know the Father. And how do we know Jesus? The only way for us to really know Jesus is to have Jesus in our heart, to have him control our hearts. Now let me talk about a bird in the bird family. Since this is a year of the rooster, let me talk about a bird in the bird family. Let me talk about the humble sparrow. Now what does the sparrow remind us of? The sparrow reminds us of God's providential care. Now let's understand, all of God's creation is under his providential care. As I said earlier on, nothing and nothing happens by chance. Nothing, yes? And Jesus makes it very, very clear. He says, not a single sparrow will fall down from the sky without the permission of the Heavenly Father. Yes. Now, but let's understand this truth also. Now, while the entire creation, the entire universe is under the providential care of the one true living God, only true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are under his special providential care. Not just providential care, but special providential care. I refer you to Matthew chapter 10. If you look at the program sheet again, Matthew chapter 10 and verses 29 to 33. Let me read this for you. Matthew 10, 29 to 33. All right. Jesus said this, Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. In other words, without your father's permission. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Can you imagine? All the hairs on our body are numbered by the one true living God. Not a single hair will fall out of our body without his permission. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, Jesus was talking to believers, talking to those who are willing, those who were willing to confess him before men, talking to true believers. So what he was saying was this, this special providential care is extended only to true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear friends, all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have this wonderful privilege of enjoying God's special providential care. We know that nothing happens to us by chance. Yes, nothing, even if it's untoward, can happen to us by chance. In fact, the Nothing can happen to us or nothing can harm us if God does not permit that thing to harm us. In fact, we can even go to war and not be harmed if God does not permit us to be harmed. And so we read these words in the book of Psalm, in Psalm 91, verse 7, I read for you, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Even 10,000 people were to fall by your side, you will not be harmed if I do not permit you to be harmed. That is the kind of special providential care that God extends to us. But what if something untoward happens to us? What can we say? My dear friends, if anything untoward happens to us, we have this great comfort in the one true living God. He says to us, and now in Romans 8:28, the Apostle Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we know that even though the things that happen to us might appear to be untoward, harmful to us, but God says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So if we totally committed ourselves to God's providential care, what fear might we have? The answer is, no fear will terrorize us. Yes, including the fear of death, the fear of falling sick, or the fear of flying. But this privilege of being under the special providential care, let me repeat, is only given to those who are true believers in the Lord, to those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to those who have truly repented from their sins, to those who truly have trusted in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse them from their sins. Now, let me talk about the next bird, another humble bird. And this time, I want to talk about the swallow. Yes, and I'd like us to see God's provision of a home for this humble, restless creature known as the swallow. I'd like us to turn to Psalm 84, verses 2 and 4. Again, please turn to the program cover. Yes, the third page, Psalm 84, the passage that we read earlier on at the start of the worship service, Psalm 84, verse 2. Yes. Psalm 84 and verse 2. All right, let me read this for you. My soul longeth, so says the psalmist, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The courts of the Lord, of course, refer to the courts in the temple or in the tabernacle of God. Verse 3, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Now, a psalm is a song. All right, psalm means a song. Now, we do not know who the songwriter is or the psalmist is who wrote this psalm. But what we do know about this psalmist is that he longed intensely to be in the presence of the Lord, to the extent that he even envied these birds, the swallows and the sparrows, who were able to make God's house their dwelling place. Now, since I've spoken about the sparrow, I will not talk about the sparrow, but I'll just focus my attention on the swallow. Now, I understand that the swallow is a very fast-flying little bird. It is a bird that appears to be very restless. Now, isn't it true? I think we must have seen swallows. They seem to be flying all the time. They seem to be very restless. Yet, this humble creature, restless creature, is able to find rest in the home that God provides it, in the house of the Lord. In fact, the resting place of the swallow is the very altars of the one true living God. That tells us how close the swallow is to the presence of the Lord. Yes. So, friends, have we ever asked ourselves these questions? Why are we so restless? Why is life so lacking in meaning? Why is peace so elusive to me? I don't seem to have them, or I don't seem to have it. Now, there was one man in history who went after one pursuit after another. And the pursuits that he went after were great pursuits, right? Now, he was very, very successful in his pursuits. And he achieved a lot. Now I refer you to none other than the great king, King Solomon. Now King Solomon was a very, very brilliant man. He built beautiful houses. He built a beautiful palace. In fact, he built the temple of God, the temple of Jerusalem. He built beautiful orchards. He built beautiful gardens. And he was extremely rich. You might say that his kingdom was literally oozing with gold. That was how rich he was. And he had, you know, today if we have this nice hi-fi system in our home, we say, huh, what a luxury to be able to sit back to listen to this hi-fi music. But you know, Solomon had live orchestras and live choirs to entertain him. That was how great he was. Yes, now, and he owned thousands of horses, and I'm sure he owned thousands of horses. He owned many, many beautiful chariots. And I dare say that if he were alive today, living today, he would be owning a fleet of limousines or even a fleet of private jets. That was how rich he was. Now, as far as power was concerned, he was a very, very powerful man. He was the monarch of a very powerful monarch. In fact, the most powerful monarch in that region of the world that he lived in those days. He was the king of Israel. And then, but friends, at the end of the day, in spite of all that he achieved, in spite of all that he had, he came to this conclusion. He said this, all the things under the sun are but vanity of vanities. You know what's meant by vanity? Vanity means zero. Nothing. Zero. All the things under the sun are but vanity of vanities. Zero of zeros. That's what he said about the things that he achieved. And he said, all the things that I have and achieve are a vexation of spirit. Now put in modern language, what it means is, it's like chasing after the wind. Can you imagine? It's like chasing after the wind. All the achievements that he had, he said, I felt as if I was chasing after the wind. That was how Solomon felt about his achievements. They were so meaningless to him. So what then is the real meaning of life? No, Solomon wrote this book, the book of Ecclesiastes. And at the conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes, this was his conclusion. He said, in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Until we are in the position in which we are able to fear God in the right way and to obey God's commandments in the way that God wants us to obey, we will never be able to attain peace in our heart. Our soul will continue to be restless. But you might ask this question, how can I be in the position in which I can truly fear God in the manner in which God will be very pleased with? And how can I be in a position in which I'll be able to obey God's commandments the way he wants me to obey them? My dear friends, the answer is this. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have this right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll not be perfect. No, by no means, we'll not be perfect. But my dear friends, we will be able to fear God in the way he wants us to fear him. We will be able to obey the commandments, God's commandments, in the way he wants us to obey them. Not perfect, by no means. We will not be perfect, not sinlessly perfect. But as the word of God says, we'll be blameless in the sight of the one true living God. Now let me talk about next about a very, very powerful bird, the eagle. Now what does the eagle represent? The eagle represents God's power given to us. God's power given to us. That's what the eagle represents. Now, these past 2 weeks, if we were interested in tennis, I'm sure some of us here are, we would have been treated to a sports fest. Yes, the tennis world literally adores this legendary figure, Roger Federer, the winner of 17 Grand Slams, right? But, friends, he is really the old man of the sports, already 35 years old. And in the last few years, it was quite apparent that he was going downhill. But this year, he's experiencing a resurgence in his game. And fans are very, very happy to see the Roger Federer coming back to where he was before. And do you know why? Because they love to watch the beauty and the grace in which he moves when he plays his game. They say, oh, we wish Roger Federer will be here forever and ever. But friends, the truth is, you give Roger Federer a few more years, and he will have lost all his beauty and strength in playing tennis, even though he's Roger Federer. Just as it is with everyone else, he will be overtaken by age. And that's true. He will grow old and he will grow weary. But it is not only the old that faint and grow weary. Even the youths shall faint and the youths shall be weary and the young men shall utterly fall, so the word of God says. They can be exhausted and they certainly can be weakened by diseases. The truth is, all of us, young and old, can faint and can be overcome by the weariness of the body. And not only that, we can also be overcome by mental and emotional weariness. But listen to this promise given by the one true living God. I'd like us to look at Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Again, please look at the last page, all right, of the program sheet. Now, I'd like us to refer to all these verses so that you will understand that these are not my words. These are words, the very words of the one true living God. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Let me read for you. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now, God gives apparently three speeds of spiritual strength and power. Perhaps to the youth, he gives strength so that the youth is able to mount up with wings as eagles. Right? And then to the young man, he gives another speed. He gives strength that enables him not to fly, but to run. Then to old guys like me, yes, he gives me strength to enable me to walk. All right, so the word of God says here, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The question is, how may I get this strength, which the mighty eagle reminds me of? I may get it by waiting on the Lord, waiting upon the Lord, by trusting in him, by expecting him to give me the strength that I desire to have. But as I said many times over already, you really can't wait on him or wait upon him if you do not have this father and child relationship with him. You must have this relationship with him. And how may you have this father and child relationship with him? The only way for you to have this father and child relationship with him is to come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is when Jesus is your Savior, when you have put your life into his hands and he has come into your heart and he is controlling your life, that you have this father and child relationship with him, with the one true living God. And if you have this relationship with him, the privilege is yours for you to wait upon the Lord. Yes. And until you have this relationship, you will not be in the position to wait upon him. Now you'll be wondering when I should be talking about the rooster, right? Talk about these wild birds. Now let me talk about this domesticated bird, the rooster. Now, I'd like us to see that the rooster serves as God's reminder to us of his word, a reminder of God's word. Luke 22, all right, you turn to your program sheet, page 3, Luke 22 and verse 31. Luke 22 and verse 31. Now let me read for you again. Now the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to Simon Peter, one of his disciples. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan or the devil has desired to have you, that he may sift you, may shake you as wheat. Verse 32. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to die. In other gospel, he even said something like that. Lord, I will never deny you. Yes, I'll never deny you. Yes, even if I have to die with you, Lord, I will die with you. And the Lord, verse 34, the Lord says to him, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. The Lord said, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. Now, when did this incident take place? Now, it took place when the Lord Jesus Christ was about to be arrested by the Jewish religious leaders. And Peter was very boastful, as usual. His words preceded his mind, and he said things that were very, very boastful. When the Lord said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, no, no, impossible. I wouldn't do that. Yes, and then let's read on. All right, Luke 23, verse 54. Then took they him. The him here refers to Jesus. Then they took Jesus and led him, they arrested him, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed after. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested that evening, all the disciples actually forsook the Lord. They fled, they forsook the Lord. Peter also forsook the Lord. But then Peter at least picked up enough courage to try to follow the Lord from a distance. Right, he entered into the high priest's palace, and Peter followed afar off, verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, possibly it was quite cold, and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid, only a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And Peter denied Jesus. Alright, 57. And Peter denied Jesus, saying, woman, I know him not. Denial number one. 58. And after a while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Denial number two. 59. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him. Denial number three. For he is a Galilean. He came from the same region as Jesus, a Galilean. Verse 60. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Denial number three. And immediately what he yet spake, the cock crew. 61. And the Lord turned. All right, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went up and wept bitterly. His were tears of regret. He went up and he wept bitterly. And I dare say, more importantly, his were tears of true repentance. And Peter truly repented. And then the Lord restored him after his repentance. After the Lord rose up from the dead, he restored Peter back to his position of being an apostle. Now then, tradition has it that as of that day, whenever Peter heard the cock crow, he would weep. And that's, of course, tradition. Now look at verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. You see, he remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. The crow of the rooster indeed reminded Peter of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that he would deny him three times. In other words, Peter realized what the Lord said came true. Whatever he said is true. Whatever he says, yes, it is so, and it is so. Yes. Now let's understand this truth. Whatever God says in his word is absolutely true and will surely come to pass. Just as it came to pass when the Lord said, Peter, you will deny me three times, and Peter indeed denied the Lord three times. Now, the word of God says this to us in John 3:16. I read for you. I recite this for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are these words true? Yes, of course. How do we know it's true? Because it's God's word. God says so, it must be so. Just as the Lord said to Peter, you deny me three times. And true enough, Peter denied the Lord three times. God says, yes, if you believe believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe on him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. And this, my dear friends, is absolutely true, because God says so, it must be so. And then in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, the Lord says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Is this true? Of course, absolutely true. How do I know it's true? Because God says so. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. I dare say Peter would have remembered another thing. Whenever the cock crows, or whenever the cock crowed, he would have remembered that the Lord turned and looked upon him. Remember those words we read earlier on? The Lord turned and looked at Peter after he denied the Lord three times. Now, what kind of look do you think it was? Was it a look of condemnation? Peter, finish. You are gone. Finish. You denied me three times. Was it a look of condemnation? No, it wasn't. Was it a Peter, didn't I tell you so kind of look, that you would deny me? No, my dear friends, it wasn't that kind of look. Was it a look of disappointment? Perhaps a little. But I dare say, my dear friends, it was really a look of pity, a look of compassion, a look of mercy on Peter. He completely sympathized with Peter. He knew exactly how Peter felt. You know why the Lord knew exactly how Peter felt? Because our Lord is our perfect high priest. The word of God says, perfect high priest. He's not one who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, he is perfectly sympathetic. He can be touched with all our feelings of infirmities. So he understood perfectly how Peter felt that evening. Yes. Now, does the Lord look at us today with mercy and with compassion? Does he or does he not? Of course he looks at us with mercy and with compassion. In fact, God is so long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, my dear friends, at the voice of the rooster, Peter was awoken to Jesus' word, and he repented. Now, today, would you not be awoken to your sinful condition as you hear God's word proclaimed to you by a human voice? Would you not be awoken to the fact that you are in need of salvation in Jesus Christ? I trust, my dear friends, that as Peter responded to the voice of the crow of the cock, you will respond to this human voice that is speaking to you today. Now, God is sovereign. His word declares that his soul, everything is absolutely, absolutely under his control. Our destiny is not controlled by the stars. It is not controlled by the year in which we were born. If you have been superstitious all your life and you felt that your life has been controlled by the stars, you need not be under that control. Jesus is able to set you free from that superstition. Simply come and trust in him, trust in his sovereignty, and you will be delivered from your superstition. Now, the word of God speaks of different kinds of birds. I don't have time to cover all the birds, but we have spoken about a few birds this morning. First, the sparrow reminds us that true believers have the privilege of having the special providential care of the one true living God. And then the swallow reminds us of how restless we human beings are naturally. But the swallow is able to find rest in the presence of the Lord. How true the words of the great Saint Augustine, who said, Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in thee. And we can surely find rest in the one true living God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the eagle reminds us of God-given power. If you want real strength to overcome our emotional, our mental, our spiritual weariness, we must wait upon the Lord. And only true believers have the privilege of waiting upon the Lord. And when they wait upon the Lord gives us this promise. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And finally, let the crow of the rooster remind us that whatever God says will surely come to pass, as it did to Peter. Also, let the crow of the rooster remind us of the look of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My dear friends, it is a look of mercy, a look of compassion, a look of sympathy. And that is how he looks at us today. And he's waiting for us to turn to him today in repentance. My dear friends, I hope that this day, the second day of the lunar year, the year of the rooster, may be something that is very memorable for you. That today you will, upon hearing this truth given out of the Word of God, will respond to this truth and say, Lord, I really want you to be my Savior and my Lord. I want to repent for my sins. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I trust, my dear friends, that today you will be willing to make this very, very all-important decision. It's going to change the course of your life. You'll be entirely different after this, after you have decided to make this important decision to follow Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful grace. We thank you for the word, your word. And we thank you for teaching us precious lessons from the birds. Oh Lord God, we thank you that you have given to us your special providential care. Just as you care for the sparrows in the sky, Lord, you care even more for us. And we know, Father, that you have saved us for yourself, and that we can find rest in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And indeed, we have found rest in him, because he has given us this very special place of being at rest with you. And Father, we also thank you for the lesson from the mighty eagle. Lord, we thank you that you have given us spiritual strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that when we wait upon you, you will give us the necessary strength so that we may be able to operate our lives in a manner that pleases you. And Father, we also thank you for the lesson from the rooster, that, Lord, that indeed whatever you say in your word is absolutely true. And we thank you, O Lord God, also from your word that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is so kind and so gracious. And we pray this morning that all of us may realize that he looks with us with sympathy, with mercy, with compassion. And he's waiting for us to come to him. And we pray for those who have not known you as Lord and Savior yet, that this morning they will come and believe in you. Lord, be very gracious and be very merciful, we pray thee. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.